Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I would say the deal with Arizona was a deal that we felt was in the best interest of our team. Capital P, capital E, capital A, capital M.
How do you spell Duke?
Dale Arnold.
Welcome to WrestleMania. WWE looked at everything we got planned and said, nope, this party's too big for just one night.
Oh, no, no, no.
Rich Keefe.
We're here at Fenway South.
Culinary gangster.
In the process of making a birthday dinner.
Well, here's the thing. It's the depth of flavor. It's not just the flavor.
Can you believe this?
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Wiggy's got a fire drip today.
That's the booty.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI. As we do on Mondays and Wednesdays. Former New England Patriot tight end Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us. And unfortunately, Wiggy, I lobbied extensively on your behalf, but when we drafted Tom Brady's all-time skill position players last week, at the end of the week, while Rich Keefe ran away with the competition, nobody picked Jermaine Wiggins.
I'm surprised you didn't
the
have...
The best tight end in the history of the Patriots,
and have Gronk at flex.
Jermaine Wiggins.
Could have done that.
Just missed the cut. Yeah, we could have. You could have had two tight ends per squad, but then I would have had no running back, and that's just too wacky. So
Jermaine Wiggins dropped a key pass in the Snow Bowl and is an internationally renowned linguist.
He went undrafted.
An announcer boy was ready for you to be picked,
he
as
was,
you can hear.
There we go.
Should have been. Well, you know what? I made somebody's list.
You did. If there was a fourth team, if Wiggy was also involved, I think you would have been on that team, I'm guessing. And then we could have put that to a vote.
Should have did it Wednesday when I was in.
So I won that because we voted on Dale Keefe.
It wasn't particularly close.
So who was your top five?
Let me grab it for you. All right, here we go.
Not your top five, but your five
specials. My team?
Yes.
I went with Antoine Smith.
Okay.
As my running back.
Okay.
You know, former teammate of yours.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
Yep.
Julian Edelman.
Yep.
Christian Fourier. Troy Brown being like my flat. You could have three receivers if you wanted, or you could have two backs or two tight ends.
This is Brady's top.
Well, it's a draft. So Andy Hart took Gronk, and then so he's off the board.
Oh, okay.
I had second pick, Dale had third pick, and fourth pick.
Did you not? So you took Christian over me?
I'm sorry.
Did you not see the 2001 playoff run?
I did, but I said the two Super Bowl rings.
In fact, there were three tight ends picked in our draft. Rob Gronkowski went first.
Okay.
Christian Fourier and Aaron Hernandez beat you out. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
They were the
Hernandez?
Three.
Dale took Hernandez.
Jeez.
I did.
How many Super Bowls Hernandez have before he was convicted of triple homicide?
None.
Okay.
Didn't win any.
So, right.
Well, that's probably
Randy Moss didn't have any either, but he made the team,
Did you
teams.
Not see my playoff performance? I mean,
Snowball?
First,
Snowball didn't get you on there.
First in catches amongst the tight end in playoffs.
I don't
history?
Know if that's right.
Yeah, that is.
No, it's not. Is it?
Well, second to Gronk, I should say. Excuse me. Forgot about Gronk.
Some of these stats are
Gronk is off the board.
30 minimum.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Minus Gronk.
Yeah, but we're taking Gronk off the board.
No, that's right. He was the first pick overall.
Yeah,
would he have been your first pick overall?
No.
I would have. But you know what? My first pick would have been Brady.
No, but oh my God, you don't get the exercise. Brady was everybody's quarterback.
None of us were going to pick Brady.
So we all had Brady.
All right.
But you could have had an offense with Gronk and Wiggy. You could have gone double tights.
Yeah, that is true.
But you would have just taken yourself first overall. I feel like that would have set you up to maybe lose
guess
the competition.
That Gronk wouldn't have been available to him the next time.
No, I don't think he's on making his way back.
I would have took Moss first.
Okay.
if I had it. And then hopefully maybe, I know I probably won't get Gronk, but then
no,
I
you definitely wouldn't get Gronk.
Andy Hart picked first overall. He took Gronk.
Gronk went number one.
Rich took Moss too. Second overall. He took Randy Moss. And then by
Dale took Welker.
I was left with third overall.
You took Welker over Edelman?
He did.
Yes.
So it's just, wow.
But Wiggy, the numbers are better.
Not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs.
That's not what the question was. It was who were the five best skill position players.
No, you're building your offense. What's the best offense?
Yeah, which offense do you think is going to score more? Not which offense is going to win more playoff games.
Okay.
Which offense is going to score more? Wes Welker had better numbers in his Patriots career than
season.
Edelman does.
But people remember the drops.
Which is why Wiggy didn't get picked.
Well, your offense is good in the regular season, but you can't win in the postseason.
Right.
That's not the question, though, Wiggy. That's not what we were trying to do, is which offense was going to score more points.
And?
That's what we were trying to go for.
But on third and five, who do you think's coming up with it, Welker or Edelman?
Edelman.
Yeah.
Welker. Pretty damn good, too.
No,
I like Welker very much.
I mean, and unfortunately, the votes don't lie, though. Because of one perceived drop by Welker, although some would say it wasn't a very good pass, but for that one perceived drop by Welker, everybody then immediately sticks Julian Edelman ahead of him on the queue. Welker was a better wide receiver for the Patriots than Edelman has been.
And loves feet.
And that too.
See, I think
he doesn't love feet.
I think the problem is here's where the problem with this exercise is.
Right.
Is that you start to look at Welker's the longevity he had, right?
Yeah.
Because he was able to stay healthy for what was it, 5 or 6 years?
So yeah, 5, 6, almost six.
Right. So you're basing it like, and Dale said, you're basing a lot of this off of the regular season and the numbers that you put up. But if you're basing it on who's the best offensive players that you have to build.
Because what if Edelman played, what if he played most of his career with Moss? Like, what do you think that would have looked like? Or played like 3 seasons with
Moss.
Right. What would that have looked like?
Right. And so, because if, who would be the number one on the list? Would it be Gronk or Moss?
I think it's a coin toss. I honestly do. I think they're both at the best ever their position, and then so maybe if you want to factor in playoffs, Gronk could be a tiebreaker.
I would say Moss would be the guy, right?
I mean, that's who I ended up taking, but I think you could make a great case for either one. I think that one's super close.
No, because if you were to say, okay, Brady could have played with Moss at the prime of his career for 9 years.
Oh, I thought you meant just with New England.
No.
All we're talking about.
I don't
is
know
New
that
England.
Moss. Yeah. Overall,
yeah, but that's
just New England. For the draft, it was just time with Brady. So
right, see, but
Gronk did it way longer.
Right, and see, I think that's where it becomes skewed, this exercise, because Moss was only here for 2.5 years,
right,
where Gronk was here for 9. But if you're saying when you do these fantasy drafts, right,
yeah,
you're saying, all right,
this was a game. This was more than an exercise because there was a clear winner and there were two losers.
So you're building your fantasy game.
Yeah.
You're saying, here's Brady. He can get this player for X amount of years. Take away the number of years that they were.
No, we're talking. We're talking here because otherwise you would take like Torrey Holt and Antonio Brown.
No, I'm saying his teammates, right? That he played with.
Yeah, but so you don't get Randy Moss in Minnesota. You get
Randy Moss here. So if he played with Moss for 5 years here, I think he'd still put up great numbers.
Let me just make my argument about the Welker Edelman thing. And you can disagree because that one drop pass in the Super Bowl is the thing everybody remembers. Julian Edelman has played 131 games with the Patriots. He's got 599 catches and 36 touchdowns. In his Patriots career, Wes Welker played 93 games, 40 games less.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 672 catches, more, 37 touchdowns, more. More yards, more everything in many fewer games than Julian Edelman had here. But everybody looks at, oh, but he dropped the pass in the Super Bowl, so I'm not picking him. The numbers aren't even close.
No.
Welker was clearly a better Patriot receiver than Julian Edelman.
Yeah, based on the regular season numbers. Because Welker, through that period of time, I don't think he missed many games.
He had the 1 year where No, because he got hurt at the end.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of the year. He missed the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
from, he went 16-16, 14-15, 16-16 while he was in New England.
Right, so you think about that, and if you compare that to Julian Edelman, is, you know, I know he played a longer period of time, but he missed more games, and I think there's a lot when you're thinking.
It's tough because if Edelman was in those 07 to 12 offenses, I know he was in some of those, but I'm saying if he was playing with Randy Moss for a couple of years, I bet he could put up similar top numbers.
I'll go to Wiggy's stats, okay? Just catch percentage. In the playoffs for the Patriots, Julian Edelman 65.6. Wes Welker over 76% catch percentage for the Patriots in the playoffs.
Right.
76.7.
But the catch percentage
and by the way,
drops necessarily.
No, I understand, but his catch percentage was higher. He had four touchdowns in nine games, playoff games for the Patriots. Julian Edelman has played 19 playoff games, has one more touchdown.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's it. Look at how many playoff games that is.
See, what I think you're doing, you're basing it off the numbers, right?
But that was the idea.
Okay,
which team would score more points?
Well, the stats.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I mean, I think if you ask most people who would you rather have, Edelman or Welker, I think most people would pick Edelman.
Right, because you're basing it off the football player.
You're talking about one play from Welker, but what about the one play from Edelman against Atlanta? Edelman could be the lead receiver on a team without Rob Gronkowski and win a Super Bowl. Could Wes Welker do that? I'm not so sure. I don't want to be the guy that's bashing Welker, but I understand the case for Edelman over Welker.
But you're basing. See, I think the problem is when you start doing this, you get more into basing it off the numbers, right?
Yeah.
The statistics.
Right.
So you're going, okay, well, look at Welker's numbers. Welker had better numbers because clearly, I mean, think about through that stretch.
Well, and the 07 offense was the greatest Patriots offense of all time.
So numbers-wise, it's not even going to be close. But it's the same argument that you can make the longevity, right? Moss's numbers would have been great if he played three or four more years with Brady. But he only played 2.5 years with Brady. But who's the best wide receiver that Tom Brady played with? It would be Randy Moss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picked
second overall.
Yeah, not even close.
Right, so I think the problem is you got to look at it and go, okay, if it's an offense and I got to put on the field, would I rather have Julian Edelman or Wes Welker out there? Who's going to make more plays? Who's going to be a better player, run after catch?
Yeah,
you know, who's going to make the more of the difficult catch? You got to start to factor those in. Who's the better blocker? You know, all those things you factor in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to just keep it on the offense, I would say that Edelman would get the notch.
Yeah.
Just based on all that stuff.
Right.
During the course of his Patriots career, Welker was better in every category.
I know, but you're basing it on statistics.
But that was the idea. Which offense is going to score more points?
Right, but
every category. Receptions, yards, catch percentage, yards per reception, touchdowns, every single one.
Well, then if that's the case, why would you then, who was the tight end you took?
Yeah, but that's not necessarily
I took Aaron Hernandez.
Right, then why wouldn't you take Ben Watson? Ben Watson had better numbers than Hernandez.
Right.
If you average it out, it's not even close. Hernandez is clearly better.
No, no, no.
But Watson,
better numbers.
Watson had longevity.
Yeah. Right, right. So
because you just said you were adding up all the numbers, but
even average, even the average numbers for Welker are clearly better than the average numbers for Edelman.
But you just said that he had better numbers. If you look at the numbers,
he had better numbers in everything.
So is a better player just better numbers? In this case, yes, but not always, right?
Well,
so in my case, if Wes Welker, Julian Edelman,
we've both seen all their games played, so who's a better player?
I would say Julian Edelman's a better player.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Because you're looking at the back of the card, which is fine. If that's how you want to do
I watched Welker play every game he played here, too.
Right.
He was an amazing slot receiver for the Patriots. Edelman's been great. Just not as good as Welker, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. I think that's the minority. I think that's probably why you got smoked in the voting, but that's fine.
Got killed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, because
some people wondered.
It's all right, Dale, I'm on your side.
Some people wondered when you had. Did you not have a pick until the fourth round? I saw that on Twitter.
I saw that.
I don't know when that was.
That was hurtful.
Yeah, well.
Bill is in Newton. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Listen, who dropped that ball in the Tennessee game last year that basically ended the season?
Yeah, the Super Bowl against Tennessee was that was.
Hold on. I asked you last year.
Welker. Edelman.
Okay. Edelman.
Who led the league in drops last year?
Edelman.
Edelman was up there.
Edelman. Who was third in the league in drops the year before with missing four games?
Was that the year he was Super Bowl MVP?
Listen.
I am listening.
You can say he was a Super Bowl MVP, no doubt. But
okay.
People look at it like, oh, the latest and greatest. If you flip their careers and kept the exact same people, and Edelman was the one who played in 07 years and Welker was playing now, people would say Welker. Welker was such a better player than Edelman, it's not even close.
Well, I think people look at the Super Bowls, and whether that's fair or not, I think it's the Super Bowls that they look at, because Fitzy wrote an article about underappreciated athletes, and then Boston, it's the guys that didn't win because everybody else did. So, like, Troy Brown won, Welker didn't, Edelman did. So people remember the guys that won better. And, again, whether that's fair or not, that's kind of what it is.
Because Randy Moss didn't win.
But it's
and yet we
But Randy Moss
that.
Is next but level. Randy Moss is one of the greatest receivers of all time.
But see, the problem becomes when you have arguments like this, it becomes all anybody looks at is the stats, right?
Right.
So that's it, right? If you're looking at the stats and you look at the stats that guy played with mm-hmm. Tom Brady, right? So you're looking at Welker's stats over the amount of time that Welker played with Brady versus Edelman's stats over the amount of time that they played together. Now, granted, regular season, Welker has far better numbers, but it's the same way if you looked at Ben Watson. Ben Watson's numbers are better than Aaron Hernandez's numbers.
Right, but who was a better player? To me, Hernandez was.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is Hernandez's career wasn't as long as Ben Watson. But if you look at Watson had more touchdowns, he had more receptions, he had more yards, he had better yards per catch, but he played a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at this, you got to look at it and go, okay, who is the better football player? And the better football player, in my opinion, not taking anything away from Wes Welker, but more physical, was Edelman. I think that he made the tougher catches at the most critical points and times at games, right? His run after catch, much better than Wes Welker. His ability to turn a 5-yard play into a 30-yard play, greater than Wes Welker.
And I also thought in 16, when Gronk can go down and you can still find a way to win, like, I just don't think you were going to see that. You know, that was what maybe separated him. Maybe at that point, mm-hmm. I mean, again, clearly it was Welker. Welker's the all-pro. He's the Pro Bowler. Edelman's none of those things.
Right.
But it just seems like Edelman can take it to that next level.
Right, and that's why, and with this game, if you're basing it off of, if you're basing it clearly off of stats, Welker statistically.
Well, no, you're basing it off of you're fielding a team, and then you're presenting it to the listener, and you say, all right, out of these five guys, mm-hmm. who would score the most points with Brady? That's what the exercise was.
That's what I thought we were going for, was which offense would score more points, not which guy would make a clutch catch on third and seven.
But that's part of scoring points.
But how do you
I understand
how
that.
Do you determine which offense would then score more points? Because you said you're
you vote on it. You click a button.
Yeah. All you can do in when you're drafting this is say, okay, this accumulation of players will score more points than that accumulation of players.
Because right. It's just like looking at it now when you're like, what? I did.
Yeah, so right then and there, you're going to score more points with Moss than any other player.
Had the second pick in the draft.
And maybe that's what people thought. But it's sort of like when
the first pick in the draft was Gronk. I can't even argue with that one either.
No. And I think it's just when you look at teams on paper, like before they've even played, everybody takes their best guess, who's the best team, and then, you know, you have to wait and see what's actually, maybe you're going to be right, maybe you're going to be wrong.
So you had Moss and Edelman?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... And you look at which Patriots offense put up the most points was the 07 offense. So to replace Welker with Moss, easy.
Or Edelman, you mean?
To replace Welker and Edelman, mm-hmm. you're still going to score a ton of points. Mm-hmm. So right there, if you got Moss, your team is going to score more points than any other player, any other team, that you
– Right.
Because you might say Gronkowski next, but still, he's not scoring points the way Moss is going to have the ability to score points.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. There's a piece in the Players Tribune that just dropped, to use that term. Guess who has finally told his side of the story? Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is what it says underneath his name. It just came out moments ago. We'll tell you what he had to say about his move. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Ready for more? Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Well, Tom Brady has told his side of the story in a piece that just came out on the Players Tribune. I was in the process during the commercial break of reading through it and tweeting out a couple of the highlights from it. As is always the case with Brady, you know, he will try to take the high road whenever possible. He does in much of this. But there's somebody he doesn't mention anywhere in this piece that sort of jumps out at me.
Does it rhyme with Will Welichek?
It might rhyme with that. I don't see his name anywhere in there.
I didn't either. Now, truth be told, I wasn't able to read the entire thing during the break, but I saw the stuff about the Crafts and obviously his family and, you know, California and Michigan and when he was drafted. He even mentions how Burge is the one who called him on the day that he was drafted. I don't see anything. And one of the pull quotes that they also have, too, I think this is pretty telling.
Which I tweeted out.
Yeah. I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring and is willing to go on this ride with me.
See?
That's the whole point of the article, I'm guessing. I'll go back and finish it later, but that one really jumps out. You know, if the Patriots showed him the confidence that, hey, we think you can do this too,
right,
and you're trying to do something that no quarterback has done or no football player has ever done, we're on board, he'd be here. But he got the sense over probably the last couple of years that they weren't.
That's it.
So he's gone.
It's like we've talked about. They set a price tag, and with that price tag is basically their value.
See, I don't think he's talking price tag here.
What else?
He's talking he says flat out, Wiggy, you know, I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring and is willing to go on this ride with me. He's not talking money.
Yeah, but I think
years and money.
That's part of it. It's not like him getting a parking spot or...
No. He's talking about Bill Belichick didn't want a 43-year-old starting quarterback.
Right, but that all goes back to the years and money, and that's the respect that he... It comes down to those two things, right? If they're not willing to offer you the years and the money...
Yeah, because how do you think he would show them confidence in him if not for years and money?
See, I just think he felt last August, and we go back to last August, when in his mind, this was over. You go back to last August, and he said, he doesn't think I can do this.
No, I know, but
He doesn't think, forget about how much he's willing to pay me. He doesn't think I can be a top-level quarterback
at age
42, 43, 44, whatever.
But what do you think that really means, though? Because if Bill was like, hey, I have confidence in you, I really do, but I want to give you $10 million, that's not good enough, right?
That means he's not confident in him.
That's what I'm saying. So isn't it the years and the money?
Yeah, see,
I'm asking you, if it's not that, what is it?
I've never felt that money was the issue.
Okay, but I'm asking you, what is it?
He does in Brady's mind, Belichick doesn't think he can perform at that level anymore.
Right. And if Belichick thought he could do it, he'd be willing to pay him that kind of money.
Right. It's not about Bill calling Brady out in the meeting where Tom goes, I don't want to be here because he yelled at me in front of everybody, or I'm not getting a parking spot, or he doesn't, you know, give me.
Because by the way, it's not like the Bucks gave him a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal. They gave him a 2-year deal, which is something the Patriots wouldn't give him.
It's not like,
and they gave him market value. They gave him almost $50 million, maybe $59 million.
Yeah, and it's not like he's going, oh, because Alex doesn't have an office in the building. It comes down to the thing that I've always said. Once Bill puts a price tag on you, and based on the years and the money of that price tag, that's what he feels like you are worth. And if you're saying you're only worth 1 year and $15 million,
right, that's going year to year now? Like, what am I?
And that's not even middle of the road, $15 million.
No, it's
not. So basically you're saying that I'm not worth that money. Because you're not willing to pay me. If Bill goes, hey, listen, you know what, Tom? You know what you're worth? 2 years and $50 million. Regardless if I call you, he calls me out, meetings, or you know what, I don't get my own room, or whatever it may be, I'm signing on the dotted line.
And the last line of the Tom Brady Players Tribune article, he says, I want to show everybody what I got. Which is, again, a funny way of spelling Bill Belichick, because that's specifically what it's... What do you mean, show everybody what I got?
See, that's the point I was making. This is all about Belichick doesn't think he can be that quarterback anymore. it doesn't matter what. Look, if Belichick offered him a 5-year deal, guaranteed deal at $15 million a year, he'd have taken it. Because you're saying to me, you think I can play at a high level, you know, into my mid-40s. Belichick doesn't think he can.
Yeah, but even
which
if,
is why he kept doing the 1 year at a time thing.
But even if Bill offered him a, because Rich brought up the point, Tampa Bay only gave him a 2-year deal. So there's no team out there that goes, we wanted to give you more than 2 years.
Right.
So if the Patriots would have gave him 2 years, he wouldn't have said, oh, well, you know what? Tampa's offering me 4 years. You're not sure.
But they also, the way they jerked him around over the last few years and playing for incentives.
That's
and
what
they,
it is.
The guy wins the MVP and then he's on incentives. He wins the Super Bowl. You won't give him an extension. So it was clear they didn't want him.
It was clear that they didn't see eye to eye when it came to the money and the worth that you view me as a player.
But he has the sense, and I think it's probably because of like Belichick syndrome or whatever you want to call it, but he's talking often about how he was, you know, 20 years ago, he was a sixth round pick, 199, didn't think he was going to get drafted and all this other stuff. And it's like he's still, he's got that chip on his shoulder, which is great. And what makes these guys great. But to say, like, I'm now out to prove it to everybody, it's like, I think it's pretty unanimous that you're the greatest player
ever.
But
it's the treatment that you get as a player. When we're talking, it's no, here's the thing, right? We had Drew Brees on the Greg Hill Show, right?
Yep.
And he said, you know, Saints Nation, who that nation for life? Because he knows the way that they're going to treat him financially on what he feels like he deserves as a quarterback, right? Every person in all walks of life feel like they are worth a certain amount in the job that they do. But when the guy who is your boss says, you're not worth that type of money, we want to pay you way less, and you start to look around and go, wait a second, I'm worth way more than these other guys, and you want to pay me what?
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Here's the other poll quote that I tweeted out, and this is Brady talking on the Players Tribune today. Quote, but more than any one physical place, it's the relationships I made in New England that I'll miss the most. Of course, it starts with the entire New England Patriots organization and Robert Kraft and the entire Kraft family. It extends to countless other individuals who played such a valuable role in my 20 years as a Patriot, teammates and coaches, past and present, old friends, new friends, the neighbors we went trick-or-treating with every year, but mostly, I'll miss the fans. Now, you should mention Robert Kraft and the Kraft family. They do own the football team. Wouldn't you have thought he'd have mentioned Bill Belichick in there?
Yeah. I mean, 20 years. No, I guess he did mention Belichick, right? Because he says, it's not like Bill Belichick calls you if you're a six-round pick. That's basically.
The one mention he made was, he's not calling me. Burge is calling me.
Right.
I think that him and Bill, I think what happened in their relationship is that.
That's literally the only time. By the way, I did one of those little searches in the thing.
Right, right.
The only time Belichick is mentioned is when he's talking about when he was drafted. And the line is, by the way, in the sixth round, it's not like Coach Belichick himself was on the other end of the line. Mm-hmm. I think it was his assistant, Burge. So that's it. That's the only even mention of Belichick.
And I think what happened with their relationship is Bill kind of took it for granted, saying, you know what? Tom is such a nice guy. He'll keep coming back. He'll keep coming back. He'll keep coming back. And I felt Kraft felt the same way, right? But Tom did something that we've probably we've never seen him do. Go, you know what? I'm going to look out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is all you're willing to pay me, I'm going to take my talents and I'm going to free agency. And, you know, if there isn't a better offer out there, I'm not going to come crawling back that you expect me to do. You know, it's like in a relationship, the woman has just taken so much, and then you think, she's going to come back. Don't worry about it. Now, one day, you're like, where you at? And you hear somebody in the background, like, hey, baby, you ready to go?
Who's that?
Who's that?
I know, and Wiggy, I think we're kind of dancing around this similar concept here. You think respect means money. I think in Brady's mind, respect means he thinks I can do this when I'm 43, 44, 45. And you think it's simply, well, he doesn't think I'm worth as much as I think
I'm worth. Well, for me, I think it's a contract.
I mean, I think you guys are saying kind of the same thing, because that's a way that a coach and a GM show confidence in a player. You don't give a guy, like the Cowboys, whether it's right or wrong, have confidence in Amari Cooper.
Right.
They just gave him a ton of money.
Right.
So these, you have confidence in him. So that's probably the best way to really
send
that message.
And they showed him respect with the deal that they threw at him.
Correct. Yeah, if you lowball.
Maybe
like,
stupidly so.
Like the Red Sox didn't have a lot of confidence, apparently, or at least respect for John Lester.
Right.
And that thing blew up in their face, and he was gone, and they've been chasing it ever since. And so with the Patriots, like we said this all along, or I said this all along, that if you're going to lowball Brady, you're basically saying we don't want you, but you're kind of covering yourself to the fan base to be like, well, what do you mean? Like, we offered him a deal. We gave him the one-year deal. Mm-hmm. We wanted to take it year to year. Brady wanted to leave. Like, Robert Kraft saying that if he wanted to be here, he'd be here. Come on.
Right.
Really? Well, if you guys offered him a two-year deal a year ago, you're right. He would be here. But he kind of screwed that up a while ago.
The problem is players and GMs and owners and coaches, whatever you want to, however you want to word it, will never see eye to eye because of the respect level, right? Take a guy like Dak Prescott. Do you think the Dallas Cowboys, in his mind, respect him?
I don't know what's going on there. Maybe not.
Right. So he's got to be looking at it like if they respected me as a player, they would have gave me an offer.
Mm-hmm. Here, I honestly do believe that if last August Belichick had offered Brady a legitimate, real 3-year mm-hmm. contract, even if the money was less, Brady would have said yes. But we know that it wasn't a real, it was a 1-year deal
right.
with a couple of void years. If they had offered him a 3-year contract, and it might have been 17, 18, 19 million a year, Brady would have said, you know what? He thinks I can do this.
Right. And again, you look at Drew Brees, like we keep talking about, you look at Drew Brees in New Orleans. They just had such a better relationship. The Saints clearly want him there. Brees wants to stay there.
And they want him for close enough to the right price.
That's the thing. Is like they're not lowballing him,
right.
but they're not, he's not maxing out. Like they actually agreed on something.
Right.
And so 2 years, 50 when he signed it, like whatever it was, 2 years ago when he signed that. Like, okay. Could he have made more than other team? Maybe. But there are plenty of quarterbacks making less.
Right.
And then this year they go right back to it. He's like, yeah, I'll be back. And we'll figure that out later.
Because
he knew they weren't going to lowball him.
Right. Brady wouldn't have just came back because they gave him a long-term deal. And if it wasn't, you know, if it still wasn't financially like.
Yeah, I think especially when, in maybe it's not only this player, but when Jimmy Garoppolo is making more per season,
right.
you say, what the hell?
Well,
like, what are we doing here?
You think, look at all the players that are making more than
him. Yeah, he's not alone, but I'm saying at least that one's like, this guy was my backup. He hasn't even won anything yet,
right.
and he's already signing that kind of a deal.
And
feels great, baby.
And I don't think Tom, it didn't seem like, especially where we were right now, like he wanted to be the highest paid player. He just said, hey, listen, let's come to an agreement that works out for you and works out for me. Let's kind of meet in the middle of the road. They didn't want to do that. And that's where you look at it. That's when you're talking about players and respect. When we talked to Ty Law, why did Ty leave from here? Why did he move on from here? They didn't want to honor the end of his contract, right?
Right. Yep.
They didn't want to pay him. I think at the time he was like $12 million, and he's like, that's what I'm worth.
Right.
But you don't want to pay me that. They went, no, we want to pay you, you know, six or whatever it is. He's like, wait a second. Hey, maybe I'll come back for 8, 9, maybe 10, but we got to be close. I mean, we can't not be in, you know, we can't be in different area codes.
Right.
617-779-7937. John's up next. Hey, John.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up?
I don't agree with any of your takes.
Okay, what do you got?
All of your takes is about this is money and years, and I don't think I understand. He got more money and more years where he was. Where he went to.
Okay.
But this wasn't about money and years. Do any of you think that Tom Brady would have came back to the Patriots for the same money in years that he got from Tampa Bay with the same cast of characters that he just had on this team? Do any of you think that?
Not after last August, I don't. Again, I think the conversation is a little different. I think a year ago, had they offered it to him, he would have signed it and he'd still be here, and we never would have had this offseason the way that it was.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a year ago.
Well, that's why I am.
I'm talking 2 weeks ago. If they offered him the same exact contract as Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. and they said to him, hey, Tom, just want to let you know, man, it's going to be all the same guys on offense we had last
no,
year.
No, John, the
We're not adding anybody.
No, John, the answer is probably, well, no, the answer is probably no, but it's also, it doesn't, you have to include the rest of the story.
But is the answer
because,
really no, though?
Because yes, he was, I think
it's
no. No, but you know why? Hold on, John. John, he was willing, you know, for all the reports, let's just say at the beginning of August, they gave him 2 years, $50 million. Right? Would he have taken it?
In August, yes.
Okay.
In August, yes.
He would have had the same cast of characters in August that he did in damn 2 weeks
ago. Yeah,
but
the season hadn't played out yet, and they just won the Super Bowl. And I also think...
Yes, 2 years ago he would have taken it because he didn't know of the cast of characters that he had this past year was as bad as it was. But Tom Brady was not signing a deal for the same thing he got at Tampa to stay with the Patriots with the same cast of characters. He was miserable last year, and he doesn't want to be miserable again this year. This wasn't about money. This was about the Patriots not showing confidence in him by getting elite offensive talent.
But I think one of the reasons money. I think one of the reasons why he was miserable last year was because he knew that this was it.
He knew it was it.
Okay. I think he was miserable, and he was like, this is my last year here, and this sucks. And it's they don't think I'm good. And guess what? Some of these numbers that I'm putting up, like, kind of go to what they're saying. I'm a free agent. This is my free agent year of all my years to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of numbers I'm putting
but
up.
If he
was already
pissed. If he had gotten the extension, you don't think that he's still miserable based on the way the season was going offensively?
I think he would have been bad, but not as bad. I don't think it would. I don't think we would have been.
I agree with you.
I don't think sad Tom Brady would have been quite as sad if he knew he was under contract for another year and the team was clearly confident.
For one reason,
in him.
He would have had to make it work.
Right. Yeah. This is it. Figure it out. These are the pieces you got. You've done it before, so figure it out.
What else you got coming up in just a couple of minutes? We'll see if we can squeeze in another call or two as well. Dale and Keith with Wiggy Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things. By the way, before we get to Wiggy and a couple of things, there was another line from Tom Brady's Players Tribune piece that, as I went back and read through it over the break, jumped out at me. Playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a change, a challenge, an opportunity to lead and collaborate, and also to be seen and heard.
Couldn't do that here, right? Well, if you did have a documentary.
You could be seen a lot, but yeah. Heard?
No, you don't.
Maybe not so much.
He wants to be able to call his own place.
Yeah. What else you got?
All right, Wiggy.
All right, so you know what? I always look for something good, to something maybe we could sink our teeth in for. What else you got? Well, you know what? I'm going to give this one to my man, House in Dorchester.
All right. A phone call during what else you got. Hey, House.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Check this out, right? I want to say this, right? I'm so sick of, you know, I love the team. I love the Patriots. I'm so sick of Bill Belichick. I'm not mad at him. I'm just sick of his action. Every time it's on the, like, when it's time to draft or when it's time to free agency, Bill never acts until the last minute. Like, that is just so sickening to me. Like, when is he going to, you know, act on, you know, he's not trying to get Cam. He's not... What is he going to do?
I could take Cam.
Looks like it's Stidham, Hoyer, and maybe a rookie. That's what it looks like
right
now.
It's not going to be Cam Newton.
I would take him too. I would be confident if they had Cam Newton.
I'll take Cam. I'd take Jameis Winston. What's he doing right now? Nothing?
Yeah, that's what I'm... But Bill, what is Bill going to do? He's going to wait till the last minute. But just like, you know, I got to have some fake confidence in him. So just like Dame Dash told Jay-Z, you know, I made you, and Jay-Z told him, if you made me, make another one. Right. So now it's time for Bill to make shit him.
Well done,
there
House.
You go.
Thank you. All right, good point.
I like
what
that.
What else you got?
Well, the most popular thing on Netflix last few weeks, of course, was Tiger King. And one of the real lowlifes from the program was Jeff Lowe.
A lot of lowlifes on the
program. Oh, there are. I mean, there's no shortage. He's maybe not the worst, but he's definitely in the mix. He, of course, of the bandana and the hat combo, right. That guy. He may be teasing Tiger King fans with some future stuff.
This is Jeff Valoren from the Tiger King show on Netflix. Thank you for watching our show. Take care, guys. We love you. Netflix is adding one more episode. We'll be on next week.
Next week, yeah.
We're filming here tomorrow. Take care, stay safe, and put your mask on.
might be the point where they actually lead Jeff Lowe to prison.
That'd be nice. Sounds like he's being held at gunpoint right there.
Don't we have to know about the place that he's supposed to open up?
Yeah, so he's basically still at Joe Exotic's zoo. Right. I don't think they ever built that massive Taj Mahal of zoos. So I want the update on that, and I want the update on Doc Antle's place getting raided.
What else you got?
So last week, Rex Ryan, you know, his hot sports take was he used the word turd to describe Amari Cooper. Now, he has since apologized for that. In fact, that very same day on SportsCenter, he said, you know what, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But on the podcast that the McCourty twins take part in, Devin McCourty wanted to take Rex Ryan to task.
ESPN, listen, you have the Jordan documentary coming out. You don't need to air Rex Ryan. Like, you don't need that. Ratings are going to go through the roof. Would you drop Jordan Doc? It's a wrap. Like, soon as Rex Ryan said that, we should have cut it. Should have never had it on air. Like, whatever we had to do, just cut it. Throw it in the trash. The Jordan Doc is going to drop. Like, we don't need any extra hits for nonsense.
I didn't believe it, but the crazy thing was not only after he said it, like, did up, posted it on Twitter. ESPN retweeted it on Twitter. So it was just like, y'all, everybody was all in on this turd comment.
What do you like say he was like a turd on the field? Like,
well, he's like, I wouldn't have paid this turd, is what he said. Which I said last week, it seemed to kind of come out of nowhere, and I don't really know why he did, but I don't know. You don't have to agree with it. But Rex Ryan also is paid to try to be entertaining, too, right?
Right.
And they have 24/7 coverage. So, like, I like the McCourties, but I disagree with them.
Is turd that bad?
His exact quote was, Amari Cooper is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have paid this turd.
All right.
It was a little much.
If he swapped out guy for turd,
yeah.
Would anybody be saying anything?
All good.
Because I think you need to
like
be...
Like, turds like Doobie.
It's okay to be critical, and he was. Now, I think the turd thing just seemed to come out of nowhere.
That makes it personal. And
yeah, I mean, if he has something to back it up, great, but it seems like it's out of nowhere. Like, everybody's like, Amari Cooper's fine. Like, what? He called some bad guy. I would have paid this turd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and as far as the word turd, it's, you know, like, I mean, I think about...
I've heard worse.
Yeah, we call guys, oh, this guy's a real douche, this guy's this, it's that, I mean... But for the on-field play, it's kind of, you know, it's part of it. It's not like he said.
Rex said on SportsCenter just a few hours later, I can't believe I said that, used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari. Anybody who knows me, look, quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect for every single player in the National Football League, including Amari Cooper. He then went on later on in the quote to basically repeat everything he said except left out turd.
Yeah, good.
Right, but if he says the same thing about Antonio Brown, are we tripping?
Yes. No. Yeah, no, you can't make it personal like that.
Why not?
Why would you? What's the reason?
Well, if you really have good reason to think he's a turd, I have no problem saying it. The thing with Cooper is that doesn't seem to really back that up.
No.
But like Antonio Brown or Adrian Peterson or some of these other guys, what's wrong with that?
If somebody has, what's the difference if he says this guy's a real douche?
The same thing.
That's not going to be any better, Wiggy.
Right, but that's my point. It's not that bad, right? It's you're using a word to describe what you feel like this player might be, you know, on the field. It's not like he said, "Oh yeah, he's a loser in life."
Right.
All right, guys, we got to get out of here. Wiggy, good to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure.
Rich, enjoy the rest of your day. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
That's all, folks.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.